Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. Back on the program with us today is David Cates, President and CEO of Denison Mines and expert on the nuclear market. Welcome back.
Yeah, Colin, thanks. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to chat with you about all things uranium.
David, a bit of encouraging news for the market at the expense of one of the industry's top producers. Last week, Cameco signaling to the market that due to weak prices, they will be temporarily suspending production from McArthur River and Key Lake milling stations. Did this come to you and the industry as a surprise?
You know, it's a complex question, actually, Colin. I mean, a curtailment itself, not necessarily a surprise, right? The fact that we're seeing a large-scale curtailment is actually something that doesn't surprise me one bit. I've said sort of before that the writing was on the wall for the nuclear and uranium business when the spot price for uranium is at a level that's pretty much below almost every producer's all-in cost of production per pound. I think that's fair to say that, you know, you could expect and you should expect curtailment. What I think is a surprise in this case is that it's McArthur River, Key Lake. You know, these are not assets that are on the margin, right? These are top-tier, world-class assets. McArthur River is a world-class mine. So that's not typically the type of asset that you would expect to see a curtailment from. I think it makes sense in the context of what Cameco is looking at and that their contract book is running off in the next few years, and they have very, very significant inventory levels. And so more production today might just be that additional inventory that they have to sell tomorrow. And if the market is not fixed by then, they'll be selling it, and they could be losing money on it. So I think it makes sense from all angles, but I think people should be a bit surprised that it would be McArthur River that would come off. And I think people should reflect on what that means, that a top-tier asset is being temporarily shut down, not a marginal high-cost asset.
The suspension purportedly will last 10 months, but I read in the press release a little lower down, David, that they're actually going to be reevaluating when they will restart this over time, which makes sense. Do you have the opinion that this will be something that stays offline much longer than the initial 10 months they laid out?
Well, I think everyone's hypothesizing about how long it will really last. 10 months is a very specific target. And I think that may be linked to sort of their expectation of their levels of inventory at the end of that. But what I think is interesting is you're right. I mean, they're going to have discretion on this ultimately, as they would on any decision. But when I listened into the Cameco conference call, something very interesting that isn't really in the press release, but I think might be part of this, the answer to that question, is a comment that came out of management around the potential for buying material on the market. And they were just highlighting that point that I've made that, you know, at current prices, they could be buying material in the low 20s, and they'd sooner do that than they would mine out their world-class McArthur. So I got to believe that that's part of the equation, too, is that 10 months go by, if the market hasn't moved towards a rational place and the price is still struggling, well, why wouldn't Cameco keep McArthur off longer and look at actually buying material that they might need to meet contracts on the market instead of mining out their own resource? And that definitely could mean a longer shutdown. Again, I hope it isn't because there's a lot of people who are out of work in Saskatchewan because of this. And it isn't really the mine that should be shut off. It's really these marginal high-cost mines that should come off, but they're right now protected under contracts, right? And ultimately, that's where this is going to go, is that we're going to see some larger production pieces come off down the road once contract protection comes off.
That perfectly leads to my next question, which is to say Cameco is financially capable of taking a mine offline and then having the capital to restart it. Other producers will likely be forced into a situation of a shutdown and then won't be capable of maintaining and restarting. So are you looking for further supply destruction in that form to really change the picture here? Or do you think MacArthur by itself is going to drastically change the uranium price?
Okay, so I definitely think that there's more curtailment to come as those contracts come off. And I think you're right to point out that not all of these mines that will come off eventually when their contracts come off, they won't. Not all of them will come back, right? A lot of these mines are at the end of their lives or approaching the end of their lives already. That's why they become so high cost. MacArthur is massive. MacArthur has a long life ahead of it. It will come back. But you look at stuff like Rio Tinto's Rössing. You know, that mine, protected under contracts, when those contracts are off, that mine's not economic. It's nearing the end of its life. So it's going to drop off, and it's not going to come back. The models that we're seeing in the space, you know, that the nuclear energy industry puts together, they seem to presume that supply continues irrelevant of the market. They project that all of these mines get mined out at the end of their lives. Well, some of them just won't be economic to get to the end of their lives. There will be big chunks. It's just a question of when those contracts come off for us to realize that. Now, you go over to, you know, MacArthur by contrast, right? This cut is significant. It may not be enough on its own to totally fix the market, but let's put it in context for what we saw earlier this year. The Kazakhs announced a cut of 10%. Of their production from that country. That worked out to, like, say, 5-6 million pounds a year. Well, MacArthur is an 18 million pound a year operation. Even the 10 months that they're talking about represents, say, 14-15 million pounds. That's like 3 years of the Kazakh cuts, right? Like, all done in the period of a 10-month window. So that is definitely meaningful. I mean, we saw what happened to the market in January and February. Now, it may have been some traders buying up the uranium, thinking that the utilities would get caught buying it from them at a higher price. But we went from, again, low 20s up north of $25 a pound, and we definitely saw the uranium equities rally, some of which, like a Denison, we doubled from the fall of 2016 into February 2017. So when you do put it in context, what we're talking about here with MacArthur is actually much more significant than the Kazakh cut in terms of scale. And so it really should have an impact in the immediate term on the spot price and in the spot market for 2018.
I think when the news first got circulated about Cameco last week, a lot of uranium investors feared that their stocks would fall more, and yet maybe sensically the stocks actually went up the next day. The market, however, has a tendency to overreact in these situations, and I want to gauge your opinion on if these gains that have been made in the last week are likely to hold in the short term, or if we really need more than just MacArthur, not to downplay the size of that, but if we need more to drive this bull market into gear.
Well, ultimately we need utilities to buy make discretionary buys on the spot market and actually take the pounds out of the traders' hands and into their actual inventories. That's the only thing that'll really get the spot price to stabilize. And I say that getting in a roundabout way to answer your question, because I do think we need the spot price to show some sustainable strength for the equities to hold up with the gains that they've already put on the board in the last few days. I think today, you know, we're seeing a mixed bag on some of these stocks, which is maybe a good thing, but we're still seeing stocks trade pretty good volumes today at levels that are a little bit weaker from where they closed on Friday, but much higher from where they started, before this Cameco announcement, say on Wednesday. So I think it's kind of been a rational reaction to the news. It is a bad news story from Cameco. The market is not good such that they should shut down MacArthur. It is a good news story in a way. Obviously bad news also because of the job loss temporarily in Saskatchewan, but a good news story in a way in that it shows that, there is potential for real curtailment to occur and for us to actually get some of the assets that shouldn't be producing off the market. Now, MacArthur is not one of them, but if Cameco is seeing the need to do this, It probably means you're going to see others look really hard at whether they should be doing the same, and that's a good thing. I think that's why you saw the stocks trade up. It's going to be healthy for the uranium market, uranium miners. You know, I think we really, though, for these share prices to move properly, we need to see that spot price gets some actual support, and we see some actual buying by the utilities there, and that make me more comfortable, that's for sure.
David, over the last few months, there's been whispers that Kazatomprom might cut production a second time, and I know that you're probably not privy to any more information than the rest of the market, but do you see that as a real possibility coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, I do think that's possible. I think the market is not that different this November as it was last November. And it hasn't been that different over the last few months. So I think it's something that the Kazakhs would reasonably reevaluate again and say, look, we already took 10% off. We weren't making money on our pounds that we were mining last year. We still aren't making money on the pounds that we're mining this year. Maybe the right thing to do is to keep the pounds in the ground. Oh, look, Cameco is doing that in a big way here with MacArthur. Maybe it's something we should do again. I think that's definitely possible. It would definitely be a positive for the space. And it would really build the narrative, too, around meaningful curtailments. And it's a narrative not just for investors, right? It's a narrative that has to hit home with the utility buyers, seeing that some of their big suppliers, Cameco and Kazatomprom, are actually making real cuts. And that might be the kind of thing that actually sort of is that call to action about a renewed cycle of long-term contracting. And until we get into that groove of utilities saying, hey, look, I need material for the next 10, 20 years, let's write a 10-year contract, and a company like Cameco saying, hey, yeah, you know what, forget it at $31, not going to happen. Until we get into that cycle, it's going to be hard for the price to move meaningfully and for the market to fix itself.
Well, David, let's finish on the company that you're heading up, which is Denison, of course, and through poor market conditions, you guys have managed to remain properly financed and continue to advance Wheeler towards, through development. Any major catalysts that investors can look for over the coming months coming out of Denison?
Yeah, thanks, Colin. I mean, we've had actually a fantastic, fantastic 2017. We ended the third quarter with just under $46 million cash on the balance sheet. So we've come through this part of the market very well. I can't even tell you how many high-grade drill results we reported this summer. I guess we reported too many that it became boring for the investors to see it. We were so active because we were really pushing towards an updated resource estimate for Wheeler River. So that's your catalyst number one. Before the end of the year, we're expecting to have updated resource numbers for Wheeler, and that's really focused on the Griffin deposit. Remember, we got two deposits there, Phoenix and Griffin. Griffin, the newer of the two. We've spent the last 2 years drilling out Griffin to get it to indicated level, but also expanding it. We're really pleased with the drill results. I think they speak for themselves. So I think that's catalyst number one. Why are we doing all this? Well, we're doing all of that because we're looking to feed that new resource into a pre-feasibility study by the middle of 2018. So focused on really moving our asset, understanding that the big picture for the uranium market is positive, that those mines that need to be curtailed and will get curtailed will come off, and the new mines that will need to be there to replace them. Remember, demand is increasing, right? Demand is actually increasing. Those new mines aren't going to build themselves, and they won't build themselves quickly. So we really do need to move the ball now to be in what we're looking for as the pole position and putting together a large-scale Athabasca uranium mining operation in time for the next cycle. So, you know, I think our story is better than it's ever been. It's fair to say that the market's been apathetic, and so I do think there is still quite an opportunity for investors to take positions in our stock ahead of the resource and ahead of a real return to the uranium market. I mean, the bounce we've seen in the last 2 days is not the story for where this goes, but you have to be in the stock, right, and to take advantage of these markets. And buying stock at these levels is really, in my mind, a low-risk proposition. I've been buying when I can, and I think you know, to rely on the market is one thing, but our story's got our own asset-driven catalysts on the go, and so that's what you're buying for. On top of it, you know, Wheeler's a core, but we also discovered a brand new high-grade zone on the Waterbury project called Husky. We had 9 drill holes in there last year. First hole hit mineralization, and very good results there. We've now got a basic zone that we've delineated totally wide open, and that will be followed up as one of our high-priority targets in 2018. So looking for a lot of high-grade drill results through the winter just to keep our story really top of mind for everyone.
Excellent. Well, David, thank you for coming back on the program, sharing your thoughts on the news out of Cameco, as well as what's going on at Denison. Wish you all the best over the next few months on the Denison side, and hopefully we can get some improvements in these uranium markets slowly but surely.
Yeah, no worries, Colin. Always my pleasure. Thanks again.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on?